I'm Chip Hanna, and this is the For You Leaders podcast featuring Kirk Dando, where we truly go beyond the veneer. You'll experience the raw and the real of leadership. You'll see your feet not miles away from the top. The story of Goliath is another classic business fable. You've heard it. The little guy beats the big guy. It sounds like a great idea, but no one ever seems to talk about just how you beat Goliath. Today, you'll hear about how to beat Goliath from our guest, Gabe Krajcik, CEO of Kasasa. Kasasa is taking on some of the largest companies in the world. They're taking on the mega banks like Wells Fargo and Chase, but they're really close to defeat, weren't they, Kirk?
Yeah, Chip, they were actually really close. As you're going to hear Gabe say, they were only a handful of months away from running out of cash with a product that they actually found out was illegal. I'm not going to run the story here, but obviously they've turned it around. Today is a story of a great company in Austin. If you have a company that is competing in a market where you're taking on Goliath, I think you're really going to enjoy the story. Gabe's company is not only taking on Goliath, they're actually winning. To understand the full story, you need to learn a little bit more about Kasasa. It's a great name, isn't it? Kasasa. You're going to hear about why there's that name. Listen in as Gabe explains his unique business and how they are beating the Goliaths.
Well, it'd probably be better to start at the beginning of the company, BankView. We had one product called Reward Checking, which was an incredibly successful product for community banks and credit unions to be able to attract more consumers into their checking accounts and make those accounts more profitable and stay with the institution longer. And we began selling that in 2004 and had an awesome run-up of the product up to about 2008. And at that time, we looked at our client base and said, you know, this is pretty ridiculous. We've got so many customers that if they were a single bank, they would be in the top five of the biggest banks in the country in terms of branch reach. And then we looked at how much money those institutions were spending to advertise their version of our product. And it was about $60 million. And, you know, I know $60 million isn't a ton of money for a national ad campaign, but it's enough that you can build household brand awareness. But even with a branch network that big, even with $60 million being spent, my own friends who knew what I did for a living couldn't tell me the name of the checking account that would pay you an above market interest rate and provide free ATMs nationwide if you'd use your debit card, take an e-statement, and log into online banking, which is kind of basically what reward checking was. And the reason why was because each institution was deploying their, you know, $25,000 annual marketing budget or their $50,000, their $100,000 marketing budget, each advertising their own name for the product. So one institution might call it, you know, Super Rewards or Ultimate Checking or Cha-Ching Checking, but it was being so fragmented in the marketing spend that you really couldn't pierce through the clutter of all the other messages that consumers hear, and it just became static. And so we had the idea to create a national brand for our products and try to get the institutions that offered those products to kind of join into our product as a team where they'd all call it the same thing, they would all market it the same way, and we would therefore be able to provide better professional services to those institutions so that when they deployed our products, they would go to market with more of the professionalism and sophistication from a marketing point of view that the mega banks enjoy and is out of reach of most community FIs just because of the investment it takes to be able to build campaigns like that. And so in 2009, we launched this idea of Kasasa. And we started with 10 institutions that changed the names of their products from whatever they used to call it to the different Kasasa products that we had, which is a variety of different checking accounts, Kasasa Cash, Kasasa Cash Back, et cetera. And we saw a tremendous lift in the amount of accounts that they were opening. And keep in mind, these are the same institutions with the same marketing budgets. It's the same product, essentially, in the same markets that they were in just a few weeks ago. Now, when they switch into the Kasasa marketing strategy, they're seeing, you know, 30, 40% lift in account opening. And when we saw that, we're like, my goodness, we have really cracked the nut on something special here. So we actually rented out the entire Dallas-Fort Worth Hilton and invited 400 banking execs and credit union execs. We paid for all the travel. We had, you know, awesome stage production. It was a really first-class event. It cost us about $1 million. And the reaction was overwhelmingly positive. I mean, I left that event thinking we are easily going to sell 100 of these guys on Kasasa. And what ended up happening actually was we sold about five or six. And the reason that we failed was I think I just failed to anticipate the difficulty in overcoming the most fundamental objection in creating a national brand. And that objection was, you know, hey, Mr. Banker, we'd like you to start using our national brand for your products. And then the banker says, well, you don't actually have a national brand. You have a name and a logo, but it's not a national brand. I say, well, yeah, we know that now, but lots of other institutions are going to sign up and it's going to be a big deal. then they would just say, well, call me when lots of institutions sign up and I'll join. And it was just incredibly difficult, in addition to the fact that we were in a deep recession, to be able to get institutions to move forward on a brand that wasn't proven yet. And in 2012, we only sold 25 new Kasasa institutions. And of that 25, half of them were just our old white label institutions converting over. So we really were only selling like one new bank or credit union a month. And it was a pretty dark time for the company. We actually considered shutting down Kasasa, but instead we just said, look, it's time for a Hail Mary. Let's put everything we've got into marketing Kasasa and try to see if we can push it kind of towards a tipping point. And in 2013, we tripled sales. In 2014, we had record sales again. 15 was record sales. This year will be up about 30, 40% over last year. And I think what finally happened was, you know, today, if Kasasa was a single bank, if all of those Kasasa institutions, which are now there are about 400 of, were a single bank, they'd be about the sixth largest bank in the country. And whenever you have that kind of clout, when you can say we've had thousands of articles on the internet from the Wall Street Journal, Kiplinger, Consumer Reports, Fox News, things like that, that are really credible, it's no longer, hey, one day this idea is going to be something big. It's this idea is something big and it's only going to get bigger. If you don't join, Mr. Banker, you're going to have to compete with this force. So would you rather it be an ally for you or would you rather it be something that you have to compete with in your market?
That's an incredible story. So you kind of recognized that there was kind of a scattered focus and you guys were thinking that if we could get people uniquely focused, those dollars, even if it's 60 million, like you said, that it would have a big splash. You tested with 10, got great results. And then the next step was you rented out the whole entire Hilton.
Yeah. Well, we figured go big out of the gates.
That's awesome. That's what I love about you, Gabe. I mean, you have a great track record of making that work. And so then when it didn't work, you didn't just kind of throw in the towel. You just kind of hit it from a bunch of different angles and it didn't, you know, what didn't happen overnight. That's for sure.
Yeah. It didn't happen overnight. Actually, as I look back, I'm always trying to look back and say, what mistakes did I make and what did I do wrong? What could I do better? And I think the biggest thing that I personally did wrong after we launched Kasasa was we still had all of our revenue coming from our white label institutions because there were a lot of them out there that still called their products, you know, cha-ching, checking, super rewards and whatever. And those were paying all of our salaries. So it was really difficult to say, you know, our strategic true north is just Kasasa and that's what we're going to focus all of our bets on. It was too scary for me to be able to be that resolute in our strategy. And so I kind of sat on the fence a little bit and sent mixed messages to the company. And the biggest thing that we changed from 2012 to 2013 was I remember giving a speech in one of our all hands meetings and it was just like dropping the gauntlet. We are only going to focus on Kasasa. If it doesn't get us to 1,000 Kasasa institutions faster, it's not something that we need to focus on. And it was amazing that shift in focus, along with the scale of Kasasa growing and the economy recovering, but I really attribute a ton of it to the focus that was created by just really saying one thing matters and this is what we all have to chase. And once we did that, having sales triple is I think, a pretty cool testimony to the value of being a focused executive.
What got you there? Because you had to get there first before you could stand up in front of everyone and be that resolute. What pushed you over the edge?
You know, I think one of the things that you've told me in the years of coaching me is that sometimes you have to go through the road to heaven is how's it go through runs the, through
the,
hell?
The road to heaven does in fact go through hell.
I think I just had to take myself emotionally through that hell of saying you're going to lose the business if you don't make up your freaking mind. And so it came down to me, would I rather lose the business chasing what I believe was the correct strategy or would I rather lose the business because I'm unwilling to call the shot in a clear, resolute way? And for me, if I was going to go down, I was going to go down fighting for what I thought was the right thing for the company and our clients.